on, Norster Kenius. Did you want to come join our cult?
Oh, wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! Let's look into our crystal balls.
Our crystal balls?
Our crystal balls.
A little wink. The Finnish conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that. And
of course he was.
Yeah.
I was on a postage stamp.
Make it rain salty licorice.
Make our own grapefruit video.
That sounds like my liver trying to escape out my anus.
It's a love affair.
Welcome, welcome to episode 141 of Three in the Box, your underground wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Monday, October 23rd. This is Aaron. In this episode, we talk about Canada, defensive lapses, and X's. X gonna give it to you.
All my X's gonna give it to you.
In the studio with me, as always, is Mr. Kenny.
What up?
And across from me, Mr. Jive.
Good evening.
So, I think we're winding down now in the summertime here, right?
I just noticed our notes. Hey, man, nice shot.
You're welcome.
Little filter reference.
Yes.
Yes, it's been a good evening.
That's what happens when you don't edit your intro.
Yes. So,
they want to hear us argue about this all night.
Yes, of course. Why not?
We need some... You know, non-agreeing, non-agreeing, agreeing, non-agreeing.
Why not?
Okay.
I don't know where you're going with this, but that's okay.
Well, you should know where I'm going with this because I already talked to you about the non-agreeing, agreeing, agreement, non-agreeing, agreement.
Okay. I'm going to just end whatever path you're going down because I don't know where you're going down.
Let's talk about
a dark path.
Yes. No, I think it's full of light. Why are you ending my path?
I can't see down there.
I think we ought to talk about... We actually got a lot to cover here.
We do.
There's like a metric butt ton of Twitter questions we've got to answer. And
this is what happens when our personal lives are boring for the past week and we can't just like go off on a random topic for our intro.
My personal life was awesome, but you wanted to go down this... Boring, weird angle. I don't know where you're going, Hansley. I'd say we go down to the wild path.
All right.
Where the wild roses grow?
Ugh.
No, the wild fern grows.
Give me the sample.
I want Nick Cave.
So, Wild had two games this week. First game, Wild lose 3-4. Basically on defense, flailing, in my opinion. You know, you could chalk up some of that to Dubnyk, but I think a lot of it goes to poor positioning on the defense, coupled with a penalty kill that was terrible. I'm pretty sure it started the last game that's worse in the league, 30th in the league.
Yeah,
second to last. Second to last in the league in PK, I think.
Yeah.
Not very good. At this point, I think it's pretty easy to pick out how the Wild have lapsed defensively, including that game. If you're Chuck Fletcher, 2020 hindsight, would you include Scandella in that last summer's trade to Buffalo, or would you start thinking, hey, Dumba, that might be a better choice?
I 2020 vision, or hindsight's always 2020.
Oh, yes.
And Dumba has not been playing well this season.
No, that last game
in particular, he was horrid.
Yes.
Here's the thing. We're very few games into a season that's 4 weeks in, 3 weeks in right now. And the Wild have only played, what, two games a week. So, I mean, it's
hard to get on a roll going that
I think
way.
Russo had even stated on the Paul Allen show last week when I was listening to it that even if the Wild were winning, they would still be down in the standings because of the amount of games that they have played.
Correct.
So here's the thing. You get these guys who haven't had much real skating time against opponents that they do a couple of games and it's a long break. It's early enough in the season. Let's give Dumba some time. Let's maybe wait, you know, till mid-November, late November to actually see where he's sitting. But as it stands right now, man, hindsight 2020 going, get rid of that guy.
And I guess I still have to disagree with you.
I don't think that Scandella was necessarily, I mean, he was a solid defenseman, but I think that, you know, with Dumba, it's something that you can coach, and obviously he's making some, and I think we've discussed this before, he's making some rookie mistakes.
He's not a rookie anymore,
but
though.
And that's exactly what you told me the last time. I understand that. And okay, I get that.
Jive's got the word. Why does Dumba not have the word that he's no longer a rookie?
Well,
talk to your buddy. Hey, say.
But also,
hey, man.
Also, things happen.
Nice shot.
And when a player is going to, you know, go in for something and, you know, try to make a play, sometimes things don't always work out. If you equate it to something like football speak, going for it on fourth and one, you know, sometimes you're going to get it, sometimes you're not. You know, sometimes you go for that pass to cut something off to make the bigger play, and you end up getting burned, and it's going to happen.
Usually on a fourth and one, when you don't make it the first four times, you don't try it a fifth.
I disagree.
Well, the problem is
because your chances then have got to be good. See, I mean, fifth time it's got
to
work then.
To double down on your analogy though, he's not going for fourth and one. He's going for the Hail Mary on fourth and one, and putting himself way out of position to actually do anything productive. And that's, I mean, at least with the game in Winnipeg. That's where he got burned. It's like he's going for plays that don't need to be made.
Rather than
just being the defenseman he is.
And
it's one thing if he's going in deep and he can't get back in time. I get that. That happens.
I think,
you know, especially in a player like Dumba where he's going in striking in deep. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But when he's pulling himself out of position and opening up holes for Dubnyk,
is that
a bummer, man.
Is he the only defenseman that's doing this though?
No, I don't think so. No, he's not. But he's the one who, when goals are scored like that, he's the one who's generally out of position. Lately, that's been the case.
There have been a couple goals while he's been on the ice, and I mean, obviously, he's starting to get even more ice time now. Still, I wouldn't put it all on his shoulders. The main downfall that I see right now is that he's not giving us the offense that we're used to seeing with Dumba. And I think that's where the upside comes from.
Did we see much offense from him? Or did we just see some bombs and he happened to get the pucks through?
I don't think anything was happened to get it through. I think offensively for a defensive man, Dumba is a very great player. So,
I don't see that. I mean, I see him more as a point guy taking some shots when he has the opportunity.
Oh no, I've seen plenty of plays where Dumba has been, you know, pressing the play. He moves down into a corner and he'll feed it out to somebody in front of the net. Not always the spot where your defensemen are going to play, but like I said, that's kind of his game. And really what I think part of it is that maybe Boudreau needs to take a look and say, well, who am I partnering him up with? You know, maybe I need a more solid defensive guy. Like, I would have him with Suter.
And well, he tried that.
But I don't have a problem with him being a two-way defenseman. I don't have any problem with that. But the thing is when they're pinned in their zone and he's there, he has to play defense. I mean...
And so why is he...
There's a letter after his name, and it's D. And if he's not playing D, what's the point of him being on the damn ice?
And why, though... Why are we playing so pinned in our zone right now, though?
His last name begins with D. Come on now.
So,
but I mean, why are we
should
playing?
Should Durgin be like going up and playing? Sorry. So should Durgin be going and playing? Sorry, Spurgeon.
Durgin.
So
answer... his last name or his first name ends with D.
D.
Boom.
So answer me this question. Why are we
owned right here? I just got owned. As close to his last name.
You guys want to talk about hockey?
Jonas, so why bro, Dean. Kyle Quincy, I got no answer for that one.
What's his middle name?
Darren, I don't know.
Daryl.
Ryan
Daryl,
Suter.
His other brother, Daryl.
Ryan Suter.
Suter.
Who else are we missing here?
I don't know.
Riley.
Olofsson.
Mike D. Riley.
Mike D.
Gustav.
The Beastie Boys now?
Gustav Olofsson. He's got a V. That's close enough to a D, right?
Right.
Gustav.
So back to the question that I was trying to ask. Why are we so pinned in our zone right now?
Because there's a D in there. Pinned.
D. Well, we can't get it out of... I mean, basically, I'm going to answer my own question here. Is we can't get it out of the zone because in what I feel is like... partially to do with our injuries that we have up front at this point right now. I would say that's part of it. And then if you're ending up playing pinned in your zone, there's a lot more chances for things to go wrong and for, you know, things to turn sideways when you can't get it up and out of your
zone. There's no doubt about that. But at the same point, you have to not double down on the poor choices you've made. So it's like, I get your pin down. And
if what you're doing before isn't working to get the puck out of the zone.
But the, I mean,
sometimes you have to make.
I'm thinking about. There's a Dumba play that's burning my brain. I don't remember what goal against it was.
Mm-hmm.
He moved out of position. And it might have been like the third goal that Winnipeg had. And it was like. He moved out of position. He had no reason to do that. You know, it was so obvious when it happened. It was brutal.
Okay.
You know, I don't disagree with your premise that the offensive core for the Wild is weak right now.
Yeah.
You know, I know we'll get to him later, but you know, when Chris Stewart is getting first, second line minutes, power play minutes.
And Chris Stewart is fourth in the NHL in goals.
You know, things are topsy-turvy at that point. I totally get that. We got guys that maybe don't belong in the NHL playing forward for us right now.
Yeah.
And I get that. But at the same point, you need to balance that out, and you need to not make dumb plays, especially when you're not a rookie. You know, it's... You are now what, 23, 24? I don't even know how old Dumba is now.
I wish.
Dumba's been in the league for several years now.
Yes, he has.
And he needs to make smarter plays, you know.
I can't disagree with that, but I still find upside to him. And to answer your question, no, I still would rather have Dumba over Scandella.
Well, on that note,
Scandella's got double D's in his name, doesn't he? No, just one. Two L's.
I don't know what his middle name is. Scandella.
Sorry.
Jive is already irritated with this discussion.
You guys can't see the multiple windows behind us, but I'm pretty sure you're going to hear glass breaking and me getting thrown through one of them some point.
Yeah.
So, you know, talking about this Jets game, it's a loss. It's, you know, the second regulation loss for the Wild. Half the Jets' goals were on the power play or our penalty kill, however you want to look at it. Have we now, you know, how do you feel about the Wild now going full circle? So now that we're a great power play team and a horrible penalty kill team.
You know, I'd rather see the goals scored, quite honestly. But when we're giving up, I mean, I think it's been, what, four goals a game for at least four of the games now. I mean, I don't have enough faith in our skaters, especially with half of our forwards or half of our forward payroll being injured right now,
right,
being out, I don't have enough faith that this can continue and keep up with the way, with the route that they're going. And I guess I've gotten so used to a defensive minded team that seeing it the other way around kind of scares me a little bit.
And really, I don't know. I guess when I take a look at things, though, I think that we're generating offense, which is a bonus. And defensively, yes, we are lapsing at certain points. But if you look at, you know, what we have for personnel right now, I think all in all, we're actually doing okay. Now, as far as, you know, the penalty kill for the Wild, I mean, we could definitely, there's room for improvement.
Sure.
I think that, once again, I hate to keep blaming it on injuries and things like that, but I mean, we're talking back there, which I can't remember which game that was, but I think they actually won that game where, you know, the Wild are, you know, they were on the penalty kill, they're killing penalties, they're also down, they started with 11 forwards and they were down to like 8 forwards. I mean, so, you know, you're running these guys all the time out there. Things are going to break down at certain points.
Sure.
Especially when you're shorthanded.
It's a little early in the season to be discussing some of this.
But to be breaking down like that, too. That's, yeah. Yeah. But, so, I mean, I definitely think we need to improve at the penalty kill. And I think that over time, though, the law of numbers will even out. And we'll, I don't think we're going to be the number one penalty kill or close to the top like what we are actually used to. But we'll probably end up just being
middle of the
pack. You know?
Okay. So we had two games this week. There was another game.
There was another game.
Wild win 4-2 at Calgary.
Oh, and they won.
Yeah. Goals by Stewart, Spurgeon, Suter, and an empty netter by Winnick. With that goal by Stewart, that's now 6 goals in 6 games, which is
number 4.
Pretty impressive
in the NHL for most goals.
He was going into the game. He was tied for first with, I think, Crosby. I'm pretty sure that's what
they thought. Ovechkin was up. Didn't Ovechkin have like 6 goals?
Maybe Ovechkin was up.
Ovechkin has had six goals in one game.
Or maybe he had the longest goal streak.
For the Wild, he had the most points going in.
Anyway, yeah. Stewart has been obviously a huge contributor at this point.
Definitely.
If you're Boudreaux at this point, though, what are you going to be thinking when Parise and Granny come back? Where do you put Stewart? I mean, Stewart, at this point, you know, the Wild are in that 500 area, 2-2-2. You know, what do you do? Because Stewart has been, I think, obviously a big reason that you're actually surviving at this point.
Well, here's the thing. When Parise comes back, he's not going to be getting first-line minutes because it's a back injury, and you're going to... I think you're going to...
Says you.
Well, says some people. but I think you're going to want to get him into the game slowly. He might be playing first-line minutes, but I don't think you're going to want to put him up on top line, maybe spread some of that wealth around. Granny, you know, it's a hip injury. Do we want another Gabrick?
Is it hip or groin? I thought it was groin.
Was it groin?
Yeah. Which even more
Gabrick. Sorry, I think you're right. Because yeah. It's that's what I was thinking. Yeah, groin. And which is very reminiscent of a Gabrick thing. And it's like, do we need another Gabrick situation where we got a guy who can score and all of a sudden he's hurt and he's going through groin injury after groin injury? So I would say, I mean, you know what? Keep Stewie up there. He's doing good. Why would you punish a guy because somebody who's making more money than him, who has a better contract, all of a sudden comes back up? If we've got 2 first lines, great. You know, let's just alternate the time between those two and have 2 first lines third and the fourth line. I mean,
do you think when Parisi and Granny are back, though, do you think Stewart's still on the first and second line, though?
I would think so. I mean, if he keeps up to his gameplay, I don't see why not. You know, and it was kind of brought up that you put him on a lower line and yes, he can play that grinder role. But if the point of the game is to get more goals, you're going to want him in a position where he can actually continue to score.
Yeah, and I mean, he's shown that he's, you know, on his way to doing that this year. And, I mean, he's done it in years past. You know, he's been a 20-plus goal scorer. And, I mean, he's obviously well on his way to that. I mean, we're barely into the season, and he's already a third of the way there. So, I would say that, yeah, you're going to still be looking to keep him on one of those top two lines. And with the way that things are going right now, I would have to say that we won't have to worry about that for a while, where, you know, you'd be looking to actually push him down to a third line. And even having Stewart, though, on a third line, I think that's one of the biggest, you know, bonuses he's been to this team is, you know, that's where we did get, you know, some of our scoring in when we were talking about it, when all lines were scoring, you know.
Well, you know, I think you actually make a good point because, I brought up Parisi, I brought up Granny, but you got Nino's out, you got Coyle's out. So yeah. there's a lot of
open spaces.
There. There's a lot of guys that are our top two lines, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. Where Stewart's filling in. And maybe the real question should be, is a team that has Chris Stewart in the top two lines, is that a team that's actually going to contend?
No.
You know, I mean, because he's a guy who, if he's on the third or fourth line, that's gravy. Because he can score. We obviously we're seeing that this these first couple of weeks here.
Right.
He can score.
Well,
can he do it over a full season? And maybe we're just boosting his value amongst the league at this point. But
I don't think so. I've always felt that, you know, I mean, there's some games where, you know, he might not have been as out there and you might not see him as much. But that's because for the most part, yeah, he's getting, you know, the limited time of the third line. But he's got a nose for the game, and he goes and he, you know, finds those spots. He it's not like the goals that he has scored have been like cheap goals. Really, I mean,
they've been skill goals.
Yeah, you'll see him like with patience, good-looking goals. Like patience and waiting for a goalie to drop, and then I mean it's hockey skill, so I don't think that it's something that's just kind of a, you know, puff of smoke or, you know, a little bit of magic at the beginning of the season here.
Or as our friend Derek Valska says, is it a contract year thing, you know, where he's just like, you know, pay up, sucker. You know?
Yeah. It, and, you know, people do play a little bit better when they're, you know, coming down to the wire and trying to prove themselves and get a paycheck. But
I have heard or read in interviews that they have talked about him where they're like, he doesn't complain if he's on the third or fourth line or if he's on the first or second line. He goes out there and he plays. Yep.
Should he be?
Complaining or playing?
Complaining at this point. I mean,
well, maybe.
He's producing top of the league right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You put him around, you know, talent.
Maybe
he'll produce, you know.
And I gotta tell you, if you're trying to replace Parisi, he's not a bad guy for a similar type of game.
No, because he'll get down there and grind as well.
And he's bigger.
Yeah.
And he's younger.
Yeah. And he'll punch you.
and he'll punch you.
Yeah.
So he can protect our other guys a little bit too, you know.
This is true.
So, all right. Well, should we move on to the wild card?
Let's do that.
All right. As you had kind of mentioned a little bit earlier there, Aaron, we're even up. We're through six games. We've got two wins, two losses, and two overtime losses.
So that'll get us 82 points in the year.
Yeah, that totals up to 6 points right now. We're at 500. Yeah, we'll get 82 points by the end of the year. That's probably not quite enough to make the playoffs, right?
Probably not.
But to the Wild's, to their defense here, they're only 1 point behind where they were at the same time last year, right? Through six games. Back then they had three wins, a loss, and an overtime loss. So, you know, it's, you know, two peas in a pot. I mean, it's almost the same. We're only a point short, really. But what I want you guys to remember is back to the start of the season. General Manager Chuck Fletcher, he went ahead and he said that anything, short of a cup was a failure, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if those are his words exactly, but it was something to that point. I know it's still early in the season, and the Wild, we've already discussed this. They've been dealing with the injuries. You know, are we headed for what General Manager Chuck Fletcher would call a failure? I mean,
let me just say that first off, 2-2-2 is not 500, because this league does not give.
It's not a full 3 point.
It's not a full three point. So okay. we need to at least put that out there.
All right.
That
however, being, if it's a full 3 point, we'd be at 8 points in six games.
Right. Which is above 500.
Yeah.
But we're not there. We're not in that league, so we're.
Wait, did I do that right? Yes.
Yeah.
No, sorry, 3-6.
Yeah.
8 points.
Yep.
Yep.
So, we're somewhere in that slightly above 500 if you consider that the overtime losses are a little bit more than actually 1 point in a mathematical sense. That being said, is it a failure? It's still too early to say that. You know, look at last year and we had that big run. Right now we're not healthy enough to getting this many points this early, considering the injuries we've had to key players.
Yes.
Granny, Nino, Coyle, Parisi.
It hurts.
It hurts.
Yeah.
The fact that we're even competitive is actually amazing.
Yep.
The fact that you have someone like Chris Stewart stepping up and owning things. Zucker has been great.
Oh yeah.
He hasn't been present as much on the score sheet, but
he's doing a lot out there.
He's buzzing and he's making teams real, you know, and go, holy crap, we need to run back and defend this guy.
Right.
And that's throwing things off, and that's great. Mm-hmm. You know, even if he's not scoring, he's contributing to the offense, and I enjoy watching that, actually.
Yep. So my back, the question that I would come back to this with then is, should we be considering, making some sort of a move to either, beef up our depth a little bit, or, is it too, we could also start thinking about the future and maybe start dealing stuff off.
Well, I don't think we have enough I don't think we have enough cap space to make any moves at this point.
So maybe we just need to start dealing it off and start planning for the future.
I think this is a question we have to broach when we're getting closer to February.
Later. Fair enough.
That's when we're getting to fish or cut bait season, and literally. And I think it's a little too early right now.
Why not fail early and fail often?
Okay.
There is that.
Yeah.
If you're going to be good at something, just might as well go all in.
If you know right away. Otherwise, just fail early. Fail early. I can talk.
It's all good.
Yep. All right. Should we talk about movements and upcoming?
Yeah, speaking of, hurt and failing.
All right.
So, on the road again?
On the road again.
Bunch of guys heading down that 35W stretch.
35W.
Down the aisle. Well, 35 to, I guess it kind of joins with E.
It goes all the way down to W. Down there in Texas.
Yeah, it totally does.
But these boys are stopping off.
There's no W in Iowa.
In Iowa.
Well, there is a W in Iowa.
It technically is, yes, but there ain't no 35W.
No. Oh, no, it's just 35.
Oh, yes. Wait, only Minnesota and Texas? St. Louis?
No, Texas. Texas. There's no...
There's no other split on the way down, is there?
No.
All right. So, reassigned forwards, Luke Kunin. This is according to Russo. Luke Kunin, Zach Mitchell, and Cal O'Reilly went to Iowa yesterday on Sunday. If Granny can return against the Canucks, they'll have two of them back up.
And right now they're saying Granny will return.
That's kind of what it sounds like.
Yeah.
If he can't, they'll have to recall three to play against the Canucks. So, you know, they're getting their miles in right now. Hopefully they are...
frequent flyers.
Exactly. Hopefully, well, hopefully they frequent their, Greyhound.
Yeah. Hopefully they have their Sky Miles card right. And, you know, our Delta participants at this point.
I mean, how much... You know, you're already traveling a lot on a team. Like, especially AHL, because it's, you know, you're doing a lot of busing back and forth. I mean, how much toll is that going to take on these guys? Especially, it's like bus, air, planes, trains, and automobiles all over right now.
Yeah. It is. I don't know, but really, I mean, that's your main goal, especially when you're playing in the AHL down there. You're buzzing when you get a chance to come up and
right.
and show your game up here. So, I would think that some of that, you know, can push away the travel, you know, lag or jet lag you might be feeling.
So, and with that, so Granny, you know, he's missed five games with a groin injury. He practiced today, could potentially return tomorrow or early in the homestand. You know, he desperately wanted to play Saturday in Calgary, but with, you know, as many forwards as we have, four top forwards that are injured right now.
Yep.
It sounds like the Wild decided it wasn't worth risking his health, you know, right. for a game to be out
just
for
make
who
sure,
knows how
make
long.
Sure you get healthy so you come back and you stay back.
Is that yeah. was that smart on their part, or would you have said, no, we need to kind of push this and we need to win? Which they got anyways.
I would definitely think that's smart on the Wild's part. At this point, they've been able to manage it. With, you know, bringing up some players from the AHL. And early in the year, this is a good time for some of those guys to jump in and get some experience. You know, later on down the road, you know, heaven forbid we run into more injury problems and you want to be able to call up somebody who you can trust out there. I mean, this is as good a time as any, you know, to get them some experience up here.
No doubt. I mean... When we have a lack of quality talent up in the big league team,
mm-hmm.
why not? You know.
Yeah.
So, little off topic, with you know half of the Iowa team playing in Minnesota right now, are they going to have just a killer AHL team, like with all the practice that they're going to be getting with these?
Either that or they'll have a horrible team because there's nothing left down there.
Or they'll have a mediocre team because...
They lost the games that they were up here?
Well, no, more so that it's been such a bad team over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years that now we might actually have some depth that are down there and now they're just tearing it up down in Iowa. So, mm-hmm. which wouldn't be a bad thing, you know?
I got to say, I've liked so far what I've seen from Cunningham. I think that looks promising with that kid. So,
no, I like how he's playing. He's I don't want to say playing physical, but he's playing smart.
Yeah,
and I appreciate that. Yep. You know, I think he had a few good looks the other night.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he's finding himself into the you know.
right,
the sweet spots, and you know where you're gonna get some goals and things
he's
like
that. He's getting some looks, and yep. You know he's not tentative. He's trying. He's going to spots where he needs to score from, which is more than you can say for some of the guys we've seen that come up where they don't. They look like they're lost. You know, he looks like he belongs. Yep. He just needs to start, you know, putting things together at this point.
Guy that I'm missing at this about this point is Schroeder. Yeah, he would have been some sweet stuff to have along with you know, like Stewie and that. At this point, when we're all injured,
somebody a little bit more physical.
No, a little more seasoned. I mean, he was speedy too. You know, he had that.
Well, seasoned. I mean, we got Kyle Quincy, and we have.
But from a forward core.
Yeah, forward.
You had Schroeder or Fontaine even, you know.
Yeah.
Fontaine might be a guy that if he was still with the team, he'd be flourishing right now.
Yes.
How much more season do we need the number 7 who's won back-to-back Stanley Cups?
I know we have no questions on this. I've been rather unimpressed with the former Spud. Right now, so far in the season,
what are you expecting out of him?
What is it, $1 million worth?
Well,
I don't know. He's been a non-point is really what I'm really trying to get at. He hasn't made any sort of impact on this team.
In case anybody's positive. Wondering, Matt Cullen is who we're talking about, because we have not mentioned his name yet.
But he hasn't made really, I don't think, any sort of positive impact, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, he's had more ice time than, you know, an $11 million player that hasn't touched the ice yet.
True. But I don't know. Maybe I'm off on this. I'm not seeing much from him.
And I think that what you may not see might even tend to lead itself behind scenes a little bit more. Sometimes, I mean, you bring a veteran guy in like that, somebody who's been there, done that, they've been through the ups and downs of, you know, bad teams and championship teams.
Sure.
And somebody who, you know, knows what that is like is valuable in a locker room and on the bench,
and that's fine. But when you're missing, you know, 60%, 62/3 of your top two lines, I expect the guy with the majority of the experience on the team to elevate.
So you're expecting points from him?
No, I am. I totally am. Okay. Stewart stepped up.
Yes.
Who's the next? I mean, and Stewart's not even the first veteran that comes to mind. It would be Cullen, and Cullen has not stepped up.
Here's Cullen's stats for the first 6 games: 1 assist, 2 penalty minutes, 5 shots on goal. He's averaging 14 minutes a game, so I mean that's a quarter of the game. Almost.
Yeah.
He's got no hits and 4 block shots. That's pretty, like, mediocre, like, not in the frame of anything.
That
With 5 shots and 4 blocks in 6 games for a veteran guy who should be leading right now.
If his name was Cal O'Reilly, he'd be sent down to Iowa.
Absolutely.
And so we're giving him a pass because his name is Matt Cullen.
And he's got $1 million contract.
He's got $1 million
contract.
And he
won 2 Stanley Cups back-to-back. Maybe. And he's from Minnesota.
Right.
I mean, can we put any more ands in here?
But, and I understand that there's that there's the history there.
Mm-hmm.
He's not producing. And I'm sure I'm going to be alone in there. I'm sure there's a lot of Matt Cullen fans that are going to think I'm...
What's Koivu's stat line so far?
Let me pull it up. I know Felska just brought up Zucker, and he also brought up Stahl stepping up.
There's been plenty. Stahl had a good year last year. So, if anything, I think Stahl has regressed a little bit. Mm. That being said, you know,
I wouldn't say regress. I don't think his game has ever been.
He had a really good year last year, so I don't want to say regress is maybe too strong, because he's been present in play, whereas I don't feel Cullen has been really present at all.
Miko's at 5 points right now, so he's almost a point per game.
What's his stat line?
3 goals, 2 assists. He's got...
That's 5 times more points than Cullen.
And how much does he make a year?
Oh, is that where we're charging by the point?
Well, you're saying the $1 million man, you know? I mean...
Well, how much does Stewart make?
I don't know.
He's not much more than Cullen.
Well, then you're getting some big bang for your buck there.
Or we're getting underpaid, underreturned from Cullen.
One way or the other.
My point being that Cullen, I'm more concerned that Cullen is hitting the end of his road, and we're paying. It's like the Twins of the '90s, where we're paying Paul Molitor and Dave Winfield for their '80s production in the
'90s.
And I feel
because their hometown,
right? We're giving the hometown deal to guys that are past their prime, and I feel that that's the same road we're going down with Cullen.
This is the state of hockey. We take care of our elders.
Here's the thing.
Sometimes you got to send them off to the glue factory. I'm just saying.
So, Eric Staal and Mikko Koivu, our top two centers, right, are both averaging just over 19 minutes a game. They both have 5 points, and both of their faceoff percentage wins is around 65%. One was just over, one was just under. Right. We'll say right around 65%. Sure. Cullen, who is now upgraded to the third line from the fourth line because of injuries and whatnot, is at 1 point and at 51.8% face-off win right now.
Hey, that's above 50.
It's above 50, but he should also be facing off against guys that are at a lower stature as well.
Right.
So, I mean, and he's only 5 minutes under than the other guys.
Only?
A little less than 5 minutes.
That's like 3 or 4 shifts, 5 shifts
a game. 5 minutes over 3 periods?
That's like five. That's probably even more than that. 5 or 6 shifts at about 45 seconds apiece. Yeah.
Okay. But it doesn't matter for his faceoff percentage. A percentage is a percentage. He's still losing them.
Yeah.
And the fact that, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it is with the, like, I'm not going to go into the goals and assists and the points thing, because that could matter on your line mates.
Sure. True.
Face-off percentage is a face-off percentage. And I'm not going to just judge him on that, which I'm kind of am. But, you know, it's still saying, if you look at the amount of time played versus the amount of points, though, it's still not equal. He's not that far behind those two that he should be down as far as what he is. I think I just backtracked on myself like 6 times.
Yeah, you lost me.
You went full circle here.
I didn't do a 360. I did a 720.
Wait a minute.
There you go. Put him out to pasture. Yeah. Matt, that was Jai bringing Matt Cullen out to pasture.
Take him to the glue factory. Right. All right. Well, should we move on to something old people don't know about?
Like what's coming up?
Twitter?
We haven't talked about Parise yet.
Oh, Jesus. Get through this already.
Well, that's what I'd like to say to Parise right now.
Yeah.
So sources are telling Russo that he's kind of contemplating back surgery, and I don't know if going in for a consult or whatever on Thursday. If he does, it could place him on IR, place him out for like 2 months.
Who's his consult? Is it Stevens?
I don't know.
Because apparently it turns to him for everything, so...
Hey, I'm turning to Russo for all the injury stuff, so.
Well, really, I think that Parise kind of owes it to the team, you know, to come up with some sort of a plan. Like, we need to know, are you going to be ready to come back? are you worth us, you know, taking our cap space, taking our hit while we wait for you to come back? Or, you know?
I mean, or do we send you to the glue factory?
so we can make room for some others.
Part of my language on this, but he's got to figure it out. So it's either shit or get off the pot on this one. Like, yeah. You go in and get the surgery done and be good.
But that's Minnesota sports MO, you know. Oh, maybe we'll just rehab it for the next 5 months, and then we figure out, oh, we need surgery.
Didn't this happen back in February?
This happens in every sport in Minnesota ever. I don't know if it's our...
Joe Mauer.
I don't know if it's our holistic, you know, we're just going to heal it away, or... I don't know what it is.
Hey, the air is better up here. Things heal better. I mean, it's possible.
I mean, I'm not going to deny.
Here's some essential oils. Your back will get better.
This is a great place to live.
Rub some Epsom salt on it.
But at a certain point, you just need to heal, you know? And there's nothing other than time will make that better, you know? It's like either you're going to heal or you're going to get surgery. Make a decision. I mean, seriously.
Well,
every decision is, we'll do both. Well, then just get the goddamn surgery. I mean, yeah. Seriously.
So, I mean, obviously, if he gets it done and he's out for 2 months, and Jay Bushy had asked us about it, and we're kind of rolling it into this, would they put him on LTIR, which I would think that they would have to at that point. And that would basically...
I think surgery, basically, that's a no-brainer at that point.
Put him on long-term injury.
Well, and even if... I think that if he decides not to go with a surgery as some sort of a definitive thing, he's either got to say, look, I'll be back next week, or let me loose for a while, I'll rehab and come back in a couple months.
Right.
Because, dangling it out there like this, I mean, it's not doing anybody any good.
No, it's a detriment to his team.
Yes.
Who he's an alternate captain for.
Right.
So be the leader that you're supposed to be.
Tough.
Yeah.
Take one for the team.
Right.
Right.
Or blank or get off the pot, you know. Make a decision, being an adult.
Yep.
And decide whether or not you need surgery.
Yeah.
You know?
And Fels, or Teresa just put up, suck it up, buttercup, get the damn surgery. And I think that's my...
The one thing, though, we all need to keep in mind, surgery is not, especially with the back,
Doesn't mean anything.
That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. No. Well, it sounds like it's a herniated disc, and they had removed the chunk that was herniated or, like, pushed over or something.
Okay, that's...
I don't know. That's
not any more reassuring.
I'm not a doctor. I don't know what that entails.
To a layman, that sounds not very good, actually.
I swear there was an episode that you were a doctor.
I think there was.
Dr. Kenny, paging, proctologist.
Yes! Paging Dr. Kenny.
Okay, I didn't quite reach this.
I'm pretty sure it was Dr. Kenny, proctologist. Well, I will fact check that.
I think you are right. That does not quite reach the spine. If I dig far enough, I might be able to get there.
Let's not go there.
I think we kind of already did.
Let's talk about the crap hole that we're coming into.
So we got a homestand.
Yeah.
We got a 5-game homestand.
Oh, wait. That's a really nice place, isn't
okay,
it?
Just
to clarify.
If you Google Dr. Kenny proctologist, there's a lot of Dr. Kennys that are proctologists.
They're not me.
Same spelling, though. Dr. Christopher Kenny. Gastroenterologist, Dr. Gerard Kenny.
Ooh.
Doctor.
Gerardo.
Doctor. Doctor.
Raymond P. Kenny. Oh, no E. So.
Doesn't count.
So there's a few Dr. Kenny proctologists. I'm genuinely shocked that that's not the first, our podcast is not the first to do that
one. Dickhole.
I don't think Dr. Kenny Dickhole would show up either.
Oh, jeez. So we got... So tomorrow, we have the Canucks here. Thursday, we got the Islanders. And Saturday, the most hated team, and Colin gets to play his old team, the Penguins, are here.
Just saying that gave me a semi.
Really?
The Penguins?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like Penguins? They're cute.
You like fish sticks?
Okay, now I'm stuck in the Dr. Kenny proctologist Google loop here. One of the top hits was Dr. T's box of unhelpful tools. I don't know what this YouTube video is involving. I'm genuinely curious.
Wow.
I'm sorry to have just derailed this.
That has other meanings towards us, though.
Especially a box of unhelpful tools.
But the fact that it says Dr. T.
That's even better.
They might have been referring to us as the box of unuseful tools.
Unhelpful.
Unhelpful tools.
Jive, let's get into those Twitter questions.
Yeah, let's try and be helpful here and do some Twitter questions.
Get our tools in line.
Yeah. Episode 19.
That's what she said.
You're on, Aaron.
Oh, I'm sorry. So, first question is from Tom Hain, T Hain 88.
Is that Dr. T Kenny?
Yes.
Tool proctologist?
No.
Dr. Kenny proctologist, episode 19.
Episode 19?
19.
Wow, that was a long time
Way
ago.
Back machine, that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we need a sound with computers.
Yes.
Like old Star Trek computer sound.
When we gotta go way back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or we could just do the Wayne's World thing.
I like the old school computer sound more so. But anyway, Tom Hain, with so much at stake contract-wise, how could the Wild Breast not insist Parisi stay away from the Beauty League?
Did he play this year?
I don't know that he did. Oh, even if he... Well, honestly, even if he did, the back injury existed before this.
Right. It goes back to last year.
Yeah. It may have existed...
Maybe even before that.
Before that.
I mean, the Beauty League is basically like a bar league for professional hockey players. They're not taking each other to town in the end, like in the boards, are they? I guess I haven't seen many clips from it. I thought it was more just like a bar league style no
pick
hit
up, pick
type
up game
play.
And
right.
Well, a little bit more than a pickup game, but like more, a non hit like.
Yeah. I mean, if he's getting hurt in a league where
it's called the beauty,
hitting is not a thing or not a practice. You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, he re-injured his back wearing a non-contact jersey.
Right. I mean, it was still he you can injure yourself doing anything. So
right.
The thing is if he's getting hurt doing things that are physical, that are abnormal, then there's cause for concern.
Maybe he's off trying to clean out the gutters and fell off the ladder, you know?
But if he's
wrong.
Actually, the Beauty League, you know, if he's just skating around and that's what exacerbated his back injury, we get bigger problems.
Well, that's apparently what happened the last time it got worse.
But my point is he's doing hockey things. If he can't do hockey things without injuring himself, we've got problems.
Right.
If he falls off,
you're a doctor, you should know this.
Wrong area of expertise.
But, Jav, like you were saying,
turn your head and cough.
Jav, like you were saying, if he falls off a ladder, you know, if he falls off a ladder and hurts himself,
if nobody's around, does he still get hurt?
That's a problem.
Yeah.
You know? It happened.
Hire somebody to go up on that ladder.
Right. But if he's skating around in a relatively non-contact league and he gets injured, that would have happened in the season anyway. So
that essentially did happen.
Yeah. No, it did. Yep. So I don't see how this is really that important, to be honest.
All right, next question comes in from Carrie Whalen at Carrie Whalen. Why does Stalock continue to get limited ice time when he plays well And Dubnyk, you know, he's struggling.
Jive, that pretty much that's the exact same question as the next question as well that Beth J. Palak asked.
It's a follow-up question there. Well, you're good. Just answer the question. Why does he continue to get limited ice time when Dubs is struggling?
Well, for one reason is he's, 6 inches shorter, and obviously there's a preference among coaches and for scouting staff
goalies,
for taller goalies. So that's part of the thing that's thrown
but
in there.
But he did kind of show up Mike Smith, the big goalie, the other night there, did he not?
I mean, can a goalie really show up another goalie? Because it's not like they're playing that goalie one-on-one.
No, they're not playing one-on-one, but he's the one who came out with the win. I mean, can a pitcher really show up another pitcher?
In the National League, they can.
Okay. But anyways, no, I think that, you know, I can't disagree. I think Stalock has definitely proven that he should get time on the ice. And if Dubs is not, you know, having the greatest time, okay. But I guess I wouldn't say that Dubs is totally to blame for everything. I think I saw a stat where I think almost half of the goals have been on redirects, which is, I mean, that's... A lot of times it's out of the goalie's control.
Or like the goal I was talking about with Dumbo, where he was out of position, you know.
Is that the ping pong one?
You mean pinball?
The pinball one where it's
which I gotta say, pinballing has come up in every game I've watched this year where they reference pinballing. That is the new handcuffed.
So we need a new pinball hockey game.
Pinball is the shot. Keyword now if you're playing if you're playing the hockey watching
and
drinking
game. That's national and local guys. Yeah, totally. They're all saying it.
You play pinball while you're handcuffed though?
Probably.
We've tried it. We've done the one-handed thing.
Doing a handcuff? Like,
well, we've done the one-handed one, the hand behind the back, and
that's not handcuffed.
Yeah.
This is true.
So, to the question though, I don't put a whole lot in. I like Stalock, and I like Stalock, you know, when he was with the Sharks. I actually thought he's a good player. I think there's a lot of unnecessary preference put towards tall goalies, in a total disregard for nimble and agile, slightly shorter but still tall goalies.
Right.
It's not like
he's 6 foot, I believe.
Yeah,
right?
He's 6 feet tall, so he's not like he's a small guy.
Yeah, taller than me.
taller than all of us.
Yeah. But he's a quick guy, so He does the X. He does the X.
X gonna give it to you.
So I don't want to discount what I think Stalock could be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Dubnyk has got the support that he needs defensively, and it's small sample.
Right.
It's 2 games and 4 games.
Right.
So for me to say Stalock should be getting more playing time based off of 2 games,
I think and I can agree with that. I mean, I think that one third of the games at this point right now is pretty good.
Yeah.
For our backup goalie, if it was last year, I don't think Kemper would have even. Had a start yet.
Yeah. I want to see Dubnyk play better. But I don't think a lot of the goals he's given up have been soft goals.
No, not a lot of
them. If you look at last year, there's some soft goals where it's like, ooh, that should not have been a goal against. And I think this year, you know, Dubnyk's given up 15 goals. There may have been one that was soft.
Yeah.
In just trying to jog my memory, I don't feel like there's been a lot of soft goals. It's been power play goals because our penalty kill has been horrendous.
It has.
You know, it's been, you know, defensive lapses. I mean, there's been a lot of things that have gone wrong defensively for the Wild that have little to do with Dubnyk.
And I can think of, you know, saves that both Dubnyk and Stalock have made to this point that, you know, highlight real saves. I mean, Dubnyk or, you know, some of it's just pure luck, but, you know, laying out on, you know, going across the crease. I can't remember who that was coming in on him, but, you know, just getting the glove down just in time to stay locked, you know, finding his way across the crease and, you know, the agile and the nimbleness, like you mentioned, you know, gets him there in time to be able to make the save. The Dubnyk one I'm thinking about is where he's, like, out on his back and he was able to put his glove hand out there and stop one, where his height came in rather handy. So you never know. But why don't we do the follow-up question here, Kenny?
Sure. Follow-up question. Per Kerry Whalen, why does Stalock continue to get limited ice time when he plays well and Dube struggling?
Okay, we answer that. Next question.
All right.
Hey, Aaron.
At Pavs and Jumbo, what D pairs would you go with since things obviously aren't working the way they are?
I don't know if we have much option right now.
I think we do. I think it's is the I don't know that the pairings are the problem. I think it's individual performances are the problem. Because if you have two players that are performing well, the pairings become less important, you know. And you tend to play the pairings that, you know, are their dominant stick sides. So you tend to. So I'm a little less concerned about the pairings. I'm more concerned about the individual performance. Obviously I've been pretty vocal that Dumba hasn't performed very well. Brodin's been kind of mediocre.
Everybody's too. Been quiet with the exception of Suter and Spurgeon have been
solid as always.
Well, except for Spurgeon or Suter had that -4 game. I mean, that game was just horrendous.
Yeah.
Dumba's been awful and everybody else has just kind of been there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what I've seen.
So it means it's time for a shakeup. Different partners.
I mean, or different.
Were you there for the winter of love? Dude, everybody's, you know, having everybody's partners.
The winter of love.
Yes. This is, you know. Yeah. But yes, no, I guess my pairings, you know, I had mentioned earlier that I'd like to see Dumba and Suter back together. I really liked how Scandella and Spurgeon worked last year, but you know, at this point, I would think that honestly, putting maybe, you know, one of the younger guys with, you know, Spurgeon could be, I don't know, kind of a blessing for those guys because it would, you know, give them an opportunity to play with a nice defensive pair.
Who's our youngest D right now? Olofsson and Riley?
Riley, yeah.
Yep.
I mean, if you look at it, we've got 5 out of 6 of our defensemen are veteran guys that should know what's going on and should be, any one of those guys should be able to take a younger guy and show him the ropes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of, I don't know.
All right. Next question comes in from Crease and Assist. New faces with the Minnesota Wild due to the injuries. What activity would you suggest for them to get to know each other? # pinball?
Nope, dodgeball.
Dodgeball.
So, considering the season that we're in.
How about dodge puck?
Considering the season we're in.
No, we want them to block those.
Oh.
I'm going to go to a haunted house, like the haunted basement in Northeast, or might be Southeast, yeah, depending on.
It's
on the border there.
The soap factory?
It used to be a soap factory. Now it's in right off of like Stinson area.
Okay. I'm calling that area Edo.
Edo.
East of downtown. It's Edo.
Oh, boy. But right around there. Send a bunch of guys in a haunted house, and the first room they go into, they can't see anything.
They'll be hugging each other.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah. Halloween, man.
Were you there for the winter of love? See, they'll be hugging each
Halloween.
Other.
It brings everyone together.
Halloween.
Halloween.
Halloween. Halloween.
Wrong year, man. Wrong year.
All right.
Next. Tom Hain, 88, asked, if the season goes sour on the Minnesota Wild, will Bruce Boudreau and GMCF be given a pass because of all the injuries? No. But I don't think they're going to get canned. I don't think they're going to get a complete pass, but I'm going to say no.
At this point, I wouldn't put anything on Boudreau. I think that so far, you know, the team has been performing okay for the circumstances.
Construction, though, is all Fletcher.
Yeah. But, I mean, as far as Boudreau goes...
Boudreau is safe, in my book. You know,
he's willing to... continue coaching.
If I'm Leopold, you know. I look at this team and I go, Boudreau's doing fine.
Yep.
Who's the players that he's put in place? Yeah, Parisi's, you know, been probably a great face for the organization.
Mm-hmm.
But if his back is broken, okay, that doesn't help us much.
But that's not something that, you know, Fletcher could have maybe foreseen.
Oh, you have a small guy... who is a net front presence and isn't the prototypical going to hold up in that kind of role. We probably all should have seen it. I know it's hindsight, but we're not paid like Fletcher is.
Yeah, I disagree though. There's players, you know, Parisi size that can take it and dish it out. Sometimes
with they don't the back, last. They do not no, last.
Sometimes Stewart. With the back,
it's... Stewart is younger. Stewart is 3 years younger than Parisi.
Yeah.
So talk to me in 3 years, and we'll see where Stewart is.
Are the Wild going to re-sign him?
Well, talk to me in 3 years.
I mean, here's the thing. GMCF got him into the cap space situation because he wanted a team that was going to win, and that's why he went balls out on it. Now, he couldn't predict those injuries, so not saying that he's going to get a pass on it because he should have had some sort of backup plan. Yeah. Although, you know, when a guy who eats up, you know, an eighth of your salary is out for the first 3 weeks, luckily it's only six games so far, but now potentially 2 months when he's gone, he might get a strict talking to about that and about what he has for a contingency plan. However, I don't see either of them getting fired after this season. If they make the playoffs, I think all around everybody's safe. All right. Now, if they fall very short of the playoffs, that might be a different question.
All right, next question from MN Frosty Boy, friend of the show, Chris Frost. Trying to figure out cap per some link on Twitter. Do we have $2.7 million to play with, or do we need to sell a kidney? At this point, considering how dilapidated this team is.
Sell your kidney.
Sell a kidney.
But sell it in Canada.
To get more money? I don't know. I think we'll get more money for it.
No, we sell it in America and then go to Canada and buy something in Canada. Come on, man. Yeah. Economics. Oh.
Export it.
Export that kidney.
All right. Next question comes in from Crease and Assist. This is a two-parter. Bruce Boudreau gets called by his 84-year-old mother on a terrible offsides challenge. How embarrassing. Comparison to other possible life moments, has anybody been embarrassed by their mom?
Well, I think everyone who has a mother,
which
not everyone does. Not everyone does.
Right.
Almost everyone who's had a mother has been embarrassed by their mother at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Fair?
Yeah.
Fair to say.
Okay. I don't know that I have one that really jumps out. But
well, my mom never called me out on national TV for making a BS call.
No, not on TV. And it really probably wasn't even his fault anyway.
I don't think it was.
He probably got some bad...
Your mom was never like, you mix that show horribly. The vocals were way too loud.
Actually, she did. Actually, she did. She was at that Spew show. She goes, why do these guys sound so bad? And I looked at her and I was like, Mom.
It's my mixing.
I was like, Mom.
It's my mixing. I'm a horrible sound engineer.
I was just like, Mom, garbage in, garbage out.
Oh. I'll remember that.
Yeah, garbage in. Remember, there's windows in here.
I'm garbage, still waiting to get garbage out.
We're just waiting to get the garbage out here.
Yeah.
I did forget to take out the garbage last week. I was bummed.
Does your mom know about this?
I didn't let her know.
You just set the bags next to the can, and they'll grab those too. You know.
Don't you have kids old enough to do that now?
Yeah, but does that mean they take care of crap? Hell no.
So that means their mom, your wife, should be on top of them.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Now you're sounding sexist.
Okay, Kenny. See? Speaking of garbage, next question.
From Minnesota, from Frosty Boy.
I say because he's a friend.
thoughts on this article in consideration of Spurge as indispensable, and it's another link that I have not looked at.
Okay, so the
I didn't want to read it. It hurt.
The discussion of Spurge is indispensable. I think, given this early season and how porous our defense has been, you know, like we've said, Suter and Spurgeon, that's been our defense actually for the last few years. They're about the only two.
Well, Scandella has had his time.
He's had moments, but those are the two parts that have been consistently good for this team.
Yeah.
You know, that we can count on. I don't know how you wouldn't. Brodin has not certainly not hit that level for me.
No.
So.
He's had his moments, and I thought he was going to not peak, but actually get across that threshold where.
Brodin?
Yeah. At times. And then all of a sudden, it's like two steps forward. He's looking good. Three steps back, and it's like, what just happened there?
Yeah. And I really, what I would just have to say is that I think that, yes, those, you know, Spurgeon and Suter, as you mentioned, are solid. I think that we do still have, though, like in Brodin, I know he's not a young guy.
He's getting paid a lot, though, for he what, is getting what he's paid providing. A lot.
I agree. But I think that as far as what there is available, as far as like defensemen out there, I think that we do still have a pretty solid core. I don't think that we need to be.
Our defensive defensemen worth five a year, though?
Well, that's a question for Chuck.
Okay, get him
online. Norris.
Oh, Norris? Yeah.
I know him as much as I know Fletcher. So.
All right.
Next question from Tom Hain, T-Hain 88. With only 2 days off prior to the Hosers game, is that sufficient time? And I believe he's talking about the Canucks.
Yeah, it must be.
Is that sufficient time considering the Wild is used to 4 or 5 days in between games?
Well, I'm hoping they don't get used to that and get... I think the time off is actually what's killing them. It's like you got two games where you're kind of battling hard, like that are, you know, a day apart, and then all of a sudden you got all this time to just kind of
heal.
And it's like, yeah, I'm turning to mush again.
Right. You know? Yeah, it's hard to get into the swing of things when you do have so much time in between.
It's up, down.
I think when you have a steady like day between, day... You know, day on. I think that it's going to definitely give you, you know, more of a chance to actually get on a roll and get your legs under you. So, all right. Next question comes in from T. Hain as well. T. Hain 88. Who has been worse defensively to this point, Riley or Dumba?
Dumba.
I don't think Riley's played enough to show us how bad he can be.
Yeah, if you haven't listened to the earlier parts of this podcast, we've kind of been downing on Dumba.
Riley's been a non-factor. That this is true. But I don't think he's been as detrimental as Dumba.
Olofsson's been a non-factor.
True. But Dumba's, I think, been a
negative factor.
A net negative. All right. Next question.
Where are we at? 55. From Crease and Assist. Parisi out, Coyle out, Nino out, Granny out, Foligno out. Would you say
the back in. Foligno's back.
If Foligno has been back.
Yeah.
This question was from October 17th, all so right. We already seen him play. Would you say to Wild fans, it is time to pray or time to drink?
Both.
It's always time to drink.
Well, I'm going to go with Jive.
Yep.
Done. All right, last question from Tom Hain. Why is it the Wild feel the advantage on a 5-on-3 is having Suter and anyone play catch across the top? I don't know if I can really speak to that. However, I understand how it's maddening that they continue to do the patty cake. I understand they're looking for a lane or something. Yep. But you have to do
something. You're looking for that cross ice pass, pass to open up.
But you have to do something other than just going back and forth because they know what you're doing at that point, and they're just going to hold their ground. So you have to at least challenge them a little bit to get them out of the position, and that's probably the one thing that you're not really seeing from the Wild.
On a 5-on-3 like that too, you're going to have the guys basically. Three guys and a goalie collapsing around that net that are going to get closer and closer. You got to try to open up that lane somehow.
Well, but that is why you do that on a 5-on-3 too, though, because usually you're going to have two guys playing down low and you're going to have one guy floating around towards the top of the circles, between these two guys.
Mm-hmm.
And you get that guy going back and forth, and eventually, yes, you try to get him out of position so, you can make that cross ice right. pass, and so I can't down them for playing like that on the 5-on-3 PK.
It maybe it's a matter of whoever is that center guy isn't doing enough, or the guys who are a little more down low
why don't we have a guy getting in the middle of that triangle of defensive players?
Right, you need guys, those two or three forwards. Or whoever's playing as more of the forward players
mm-hmm.
to not move their feet. I mean, they have to move their feet.
Always,
don't stand still.
Always moving.
Especially on the power play,
Yep. I guess the bigger question would be is why aren't the other three guys not moving around to give them somebody to pass to?
I agree. So with that, we're way over time.
We are.
This might be the longest episode in several years.
Was this an overtime win or an overtime loss? You answer that question.
We're all here. We're all having a good time. I think it's a win.
Win.
I think that means we're going to drink Sambuca afterwards.
Oh, so it's going to be a shootout.
Okay, give yourself. You deserve
thank
that
you.
One.
Thank
you. All right. So there you have it. That's the episode. Kenny, where can people find what you're up to?
Usually at Nostracanius on Twitter or on Instagram.
And Jive.
Yeah, you can follow me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight.
As for myself, you can find me on Twitter at Angry Finn. Thanks everyone for listening. Follow us on Twitter at 3inthebox. If you've got questions, send us those tweets, hashtag 3ITB. We'll probably read them. Obviously, we read just about everything. Unless we don't have anything to respond to, we probably will.
Or we go way over time and run out of time.
Right. We go way past. We're after midnight.
We're past our bedtime.
After midnight.
We're letting it all hang out.
Oh, Kenny's not going to be happy.
I'm not happy.
Don't feed him. Don't shine any bright lights at him. Oh, crap.
Yes.
What happens when you give Kenny Buka after midnight?
Oh, boy.
It's you don't all over. Know. You can check listen to our podcast through our website, 3inthebox.com, or you can go to iTunes, Google Play Music. Basically, any podcast player should find us. Yes. If not, send us an email. We'll point you in the right direction.
Teresa's now looking for episode 19.
Well, she should.
You can find it on 3inthebox.com.
Yeah, that's the best place.
All of our stuff is archived. We don't delete anything.
Yeah. Look in your favorite.
We charge a small $1 million fee for all those old articles, though.
Did you put up the gateway
podcast?
Yet?
the Moo Machine? Like do it, the do it, gateway no, that way?
Apparently, according to Dell's guy, shit all gremlins after midnight.
All right. With that.
We're done.
I think that's an episode.
I'm muting myself.
All right. Good idea. All right. Thanks, people.